Today is going to be the beginning of probably what is going to be the next year of teaching, because it is important for us to understand that the gospel is not about Jesus.
Ooh.
What's it about, Pastor?
It's about, I don't know, 600 million words. Today's message is called, "It is God's Good Pleasure." If you would turn to Luke 12, verses 32, we will begin in a remedial way about understanding what the gospel is about and how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the gospel is not just Jesus Christ. Amen? This is the Lord speaking. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." The kingdom. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about the kingdom, not about Him. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have been to Disney World? How did you come by knowledge of Disney World? Did Disney World send you a great pamphlet and all the information was about Walt Disney? No, it wasn't. Was the information that they sent to you about all the attractions that are there at Disney World and all the accommodations and all the rides and all the food and all the fun stuff that you can do? Was also contained in that packet a type of fares type of thing that you know, we can gear a special package for you and your family to come to Disney World at XYZ cost? And you said, "We could do that. We could spend this amount of money and go there." And when you got there and you enjoyed everything that they had, did you tell other people about your experience? Did you? I know we've been there several times until Gay Day came into play, and then I don't go there anymore. But that is exactly what we need to be about in the kingdom. You see, Jesus never preached about Himself. He never said that He was the King. Even when Pilate spoke to Him in the beginning, He said, "It is as you say." Pilate asked Him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He says, "It is as you say." He wasn't denouncing it. He was not only King of the Jews, He was King of the Romans, He was King of the Greeks and the Medians, and He is King of all, Lord of all, King of all. But His message was simple. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And for 2,000 years, the Church of Jesus Christ has wandered away from that to preaching a gospel of just Jesus Christ, not the kingdom. And why is it that so many people are resistive to Jesus Christ? Well, you know, if I wanted to tell somebody about Atlantic City, I wouldn't tell them about their mayor. Right? I wouldn't tell them about Walt Disney and his vision and stuff. I would tell them everything that was fun about those things that was attractive to me. And Satan has successfully gotten us to preach a gospel that is strictly about Jesus Christ, which is offensive to a lot of people. And we've forgotten something that's really important. It's the kingdom. And I believe for several reasons why. First of all, I think the further we got away from what Christ did for us, and really, He delivered us from sin, but He delivered us to and into the kingdom of God. When we preach only a half message, we don't preach the whole message. And I think the first reason is Satan has done a really good hatchet job on us. Okay? He has deceived us to the fact that all we need to do is tell the world about Jesus. Well, that's nothing more than telling them about Walt Disney or the mayor of Atlantic City, but never telling them about why the kingdom of God is so important. The other reason is because just like the word that was brought forth today, we have not experienced God in a certain way that has caused us to really have the enthusiasm about being a citizen of the kingdom. And I said months ago, I said, you need to catch a vision of God that will set you on fire in such a way that nothing will stop you from sharing the good news of the kingdom of heaven like ever before. Do you remember that? When we get done, you will not only be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will be able to articulate exactly why, because this is the focal point of the message. It's not Christ, it's the kingdom. And we will go from soup to nuts so that you, when you share your faith and people ask you, you know, why do you believe this? You're going to be able to exegize the scriptures in such a way that you will begin to explain to people that it is not about Jesus. Jesus and the kingdom are synonymous. What we need to be talking about is the kingdom, the benefits of the kingdom. Why did you get saved? So I could go to heaven. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but that's not the reason. That's the reason Satan tells you, but that's not the reason you got saved. The reason you got saved is because you know in your spirit that there's something greater and a calling greater in your life, and that you are dying to have this fantastic relationship with the living God. And when someone approached you, all of a sudden it clicked in your spirit that that's where I need that. I need to have this. But that's not the only need that you have. You need to experience the kingdom in a way that becomes so real to you that your enthusiasm for what God has for you and the plan that He has for you and the way you go about fulfilling that plan will set people wondering, what the heck has happened to this boy? That's what they did with me. I got in such a revelation of God and experienced God in such a way that I just thought everybody did. I'm come to find out, not everybody has had my experience, but they can. They can. So we're going to take this slowly. We're going to take our time. And we're going to do a hatchet job on Satan, because he knows that the next step from us that he can keep us from is not salvation, but who we are. Remember I said, if he can't keep you from salvation, he will try to keep you ignorant of who you are. Not only will you learn who you are, you will learn and exercise the power and authority delegated to you from the foundation. God's original intent for you and for me as spiritual people. That when someone says, you know what, I got a headache today, you just go up there, kasara masul rababa, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And it's done. Why can I say that? Because there are no headaches in heaven. There is no death. There is no sexual impure. There's no perversity in heaven. There's no darkness. There's no lying. There's no whoremongers. There's none of that stuff that is here. What is in heaven is light, life, holiness, joy, peace, beauty, colors that talk to you. Grass that talks to you. Birds that speak to you and you understand. Everything is alive in such a way. Gold that is so pure that the gold that we have, it doesn't compare. Gates made out of pearls. The pearls are so big that, you know, we wonder what's going on. Heaven is filled with angels, myriads of angels, and a third of those fell. And living beasts that are there in heaven. You see, we get so caught up in what's going on here, we got to get caught up from there to there to understand that this doesn't mean a hill of beans to us. What means anything is knowing that we are citizens of a kingdom that are living here to tell people what the plans and purposes of God is. And that's what this message is about. It's about coming to understand what the plans and purposes of God is for your life and my life, and how collectively we can come together and fulfill the destiny that He has for His people. Amen? Isn't that good news? It's got to be good news, because, you know, for us, it's a life and death situation for them. They don't know. And they're rebelling against Jesus because they haven't heard the benefits. How many of you take a job and you don't care about really how much you make, although that's important, but you want to hear about the benefits? Man, what kind of benefits do you have here? Do you have a health plan? God's got a health plan. No more sickness. No more death. Whoa, you know what? I could work for a guy like that. Can't you? Well, what's the working conditions? Well, the working conditions are, you know, we provide you with a place to work safely, and we'll get this, and we will compensate you. God's workplace is great. We work here on heaven, in earth. And He'll take care of us, and He'll provide everything for us. Doesn't He say that? But you see, at the fall, something happened. And we're going to learn what happened at the fall so that we can understand how what happened at the new birth or the regeneration of our spirits. What happened to change that back to the proper order? Isn't that good news? How I give the tithe that God instructs me to give to bless me. But really, giving the tithe is an investment that I willingly and want to make to see His kingdom expand, not only in my life, but in the life of every person, to be a blessing. God gives. And He wants His children to give, too. 2,000 years have passed since the Lord's ascension. 2,000 years, Satan has been beating our brains in until a point that today's message of the gospel does not represent the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. And we, as people of God, need to understand that we need to repent. We need to repent. What is repentance? A change of mind. That's all it is. It's not, oh God, I did something wrong, and oh God, forgive me. You can go to the Catholic Church and pretend that that's going to get you. But repentance in the first essence is a change of mind. You can't change the direction that you're going until you change your mind. And the only way that you can change your mind is knowing what the truth is. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will keep you in bondage. He didn't say that. Well, what did He say? Set you free. The truth shall set you free. When you understand the truth, you know that you don't have to go that way anymore, because freedom is in the opposite direction. I've broken it down in such simple form. I think it's simple. As I repent because now I understand I'm going in the wrong direction because God says it's wrong. So I just turn around and walk back, and then I fix the things with His help that I've successfully destroyed. Isn't that a double blessing? Oh, it's wonderful. It's so wonderful. But it's God's good pleasure to give it to us. We as citizens of the kingdom, we have this kingdom that was prepared for us from the beginning. And from the beginning, it has always been God's intent for us to do and become something that we are not today. But by the time we get done, we will be that which God has called us to be. And not only will we be, all those that we begin to tell about the kingdom of God will be here wanting to know. Because that the kingdom of God's benefits are being discipled in the ways of righteousness and holiness. That's a benefit. That's not a curse. If you don't want it, you don't take the benefit. That's all. If you think your life is fine, that's you. Me? I want to be discipled. I want the Holy Spirit to beat my brains in so much that, you know, if I step out of line even that much, man, I am so convicted that I need to get right with God. I want to be so much like the Lord of glory that when people come into my presence, the first thing is that they're melting away by His awesomeness. Not mine. I'm just His kid. But when the glory of the God is upon us and filters through us to other people, the realities of our forefathers who were in the faith, the glory of God will cause people to get right. You will see them wiggle around like snakes and all because of the demonic influence that is in their lives. Satan has perverted the church in such a way to believe a message of greasy grace. It's okay to sin because after all, God loves me and He won't throw me out of heaven. No, your sin will. When God has told you to do something and you don't do it, that's sin. James says if you know to do good and you don't, that's sin. Simple as that. And we've heard a message last week that was cooperative of that. You know, all of us have bit into this lie that it's okay. We got till tomorrow to straighten it out. You don't. Today is the day of salvation. Today. There is no tomorrow. And what was passed yesterday is done. Forget about it. But today, you can do something about it. The other message that Satan has permeated us with is a message of health, wealth, and prosperity. The fact of the matter is, you already have this. You don't have to chase it. You have it, because in God, you have everything. It's just coming to realize that reality. And then having that spiritual reality manifest it through your spirit into this physical reality. You will learn how to tap in, stay tapped in, and begin to see the manifestations of God moving in your life. That people are going to go, wow, that's awesome, dude. No, it's not me. It's my Father. He's doing it. I'm just His vessel. We need to first acknowledge that we are not kingdom-minded. And repenting from that, and begin to start having our hearts open so that the Holy Spirit can begin to teach us the realities of who we are being manifested into this reality that we have to live in. Amen? Amen. So let's go to Genesis. And if we want to know, we got to go to the beginning. Genesis 1. And some of you guys saw me working on this message, and I was 3 pages into this message, and I haven't even got out of verse 1 yet. Genesis 1, 1. Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We as believers understand that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But we don't understand why. Why did God do this? Has anybody ever asked themselves, why was I created? Why do I live here? What's the deal? What's the purpose to live here? Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. What's God's plan for my life? We're going to find that out. In the beginning, God created. And before the beginning, God was. God has always been. God always will be. And God is our Father. Many times when we are not searching for God to give us the answers, we will spend our time and sometimes a lifetime searching for the answers to those simple questions that I just asked. What's my purpose? Why am I here? Why? When All we have to do is go to the Word and let the Holy Spirit begin to expand my mind by speaking truth into my spirit. Remember, I have communion with the Father who speaks to my spirit, who gives me revelation to my mind to enable my flesh to do His will. Somehow, Satan has cut that off and says, you know, I don't need the revelation or relationship with God. I can use my mind to do the will of God. The problem is, we never do. Being in a kingdom, we must be plugged in to the King and the kingdom, and we must understand His purposes. Genesis 1 tells us that God created the heaven and earth, and God created everything that's in there. If you read the whole account out of Genesis 1, you see the creation of God. God created the heavens and the earth. What came first? Heaven came first. Heavens came first. But He created a heaven first. And we know that Scripture tells us that there are five heavens, right? Okay, you guys are with me. Good. There are three heavens. The heaven where God lives, that He created. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And then we have the solar system heavens. Okay, where the stars and the planets and the moons and all the galaxies and the universes all float together. God created that heaven. And then there's the heaven that surrounds the earth in which we have our air and oxygen and all this other stuff in order for us to have our existence as a third heaven. God created all three of them. Okay? He created the invisible before He created the visible. Right? Had to. Because the invisible is more real than the visible. God created heaven. Everything that's in heaven. The angels, the living beasts, His throne, the sanctuary. He created all those. And in heaven, which He calls, He calls heaven, is the seat of all power and authority. All that God is and all that God will be is there. Then He created the physical realities. And then we have the description of what He did. He created the moon, the stars, said to let there be light, the whole nine yards, right? He created all this. He created the world without sickness, without death. He created things pure and holy. And He said it was okay. He said it was good. He said it was good. Everything that was created that we can see, we can lay our hands and eyes upon, the physical realities, God created. He created it because He forethought it. You see, He didn't just snap His fingers and say, it's going to happen. He took a lot of time, well, actually, He took a lot of eternity, which is nothing, and He made the physical reality. I have to be very clear. I have to be accurate because there is no time in heaven or in eternity. Eternity is just the word that describes a long time. But there's no time. God broke it up for us to understand time by breaking it into days and nights, light and darkness. Of course, that's all spiritual too. It's all prophetic. And as we begin to start allowing the Holy Spirit to expand our minds and our horizons, we come to understand that God has established a kingdom in heaven first. Right? How can I say that? God is creator. He is Lord of all. There's none like Him. And He is King. And His realm, which is the area in which, or His sphere of authority and power, is in heaven. Okay? But because God is love, and God loves tremendously. Everything that He does is through His divine love. He thought in His eternal wisdom to continue the creation process of which He created the physical realm in which we live. Okay? Does that make sense? So His kingdom is in heaven, and the message that Jesus brought was about the kingdom of heaven on earth. Okay? We with it? John, 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. And because He loves everything, His motive for doing everything is through a motive of love. There's nothing impure about God. Everything is through His supernatural love that He does for His kids. We are spiritual beings. We are His children. And God does everything for His children. We are spiritual beings encapsulated in a physical body so that we can communicate the realities of God to this physical realm. That's what His original intent was for us. Okay? God's desire and will is for His children to share in His kingdom authority and leadership through a loving relationship. He never intended for this relationship to be diminished to function as a religious entity. Never. I've looked through the Pentateuch, and I don't see anywhere in Moses' writings that everything that was written down for our benefit was for a religious activity. Everything that he wrote was for us in our approach to God in holiness and purity. And it was prophetic to teaching us how God was going to bring us back to Him through the sacrifice of the Lamb, His Son, Jesus Christ. But not a religious activity. You see, it's God's desire for you and for me to have something that we do not exercise. And we don't exercise it because, first of all, we don't believe it, and second of all, we don't understand it. But God created everything invisible and visible out of a heart of love. And He created us in the same love. He loves us in our sin, that yet while we were sinners, He died for us. To bring us back to that position of authority and taking that authority in such a way that we use it for His first and original intent. Beginning for man to be the crowning piece of His creation and to utilize His power and authority to reveal God's wisdom to the fallen angels. To the fallen angels. Not to each other, to the fallen angels. That's according to Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. You see, before God was in the creating process, there was a war that happened. There was a war that happened in heaven. There was this angel called Lucifer who thought that he was going to overthrow the kingdom of heaven. And he was going to be king. And he was going to have everyone bow down to him. And he was going to have them worship him. And God would be disposed of. The problem is, like the same problem we have, is he forgot his position. He forgot his first estate. He forgot that he was a created being. And God is not. God is creator. And because of it, Satan was thrown out of heaven. And he was thrown to the earth. And we have to understand that he, his rebellion, he was so angry with God that he caused Adam and Eve to rebel against God's authority. And because they rebelled, sin entered in and successively perverted the full intent of God Almighty for us. If we were to do these things, we have to understand why God created us. And the problem is we don't want to hear what God says about it. We want to pursue, hear me, we want to pursue that which we already have. We are in pursuit of power, of which we already have in Jesus Christ. Look at the sin issues and see if not every sin has to deal with power. Fornication or adultery is one person having power over another. Lying is to have power or to deceive a person. Power. Deception. Power. Stealing. Power over someone. Murder. Power over life and death. It is a God syndrome. Suicide. I could kill myself. It is power to take my own life. If you can understand the simple thing, and this is very, very simple, you may not be able to grasp, but the truth is, every sin is not an originate from pride. Pride comes from sin. But what happens in the manifestation of that sin is it's because of the power. And we commit sin because we are pursuing power instead of pursuing God. I think I lost you guys. Turn to Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. This is why I will say to you, it is in a pursuit of power. Genesis 1, starting 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea.'" That word rule is have dominion. "Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Dominion is power. Dominion is the sphere of that power. God originally intended for us to rule this planet, to dominate this planet, to manage its resources, to utilize everything for the benefit of mankind, to reveal to the fallen angels God's grace and mercy and power and authority over all this. Not that they could have it or take it from God, because we're not taking something from God. We are exercising what God has ordained for us already. Can you see this? From the beginning, God intended for us to rule over our situation, to rule over our circumstances. And what do? We cry and bellyache about the situation and plights we get ourselves into, because we are either ignorant of how to operate in the principles of the kingdom, or we don't want to know the principles of the kingdom. We want to do what we want to do. And that, my friends, is the fact. We want to do what we want to do, not what God wants to do. And that's the rebellion against God's authority, which caused man to fall, which causes us to fall from the position that God has ordained for us. And not only over the physical realm, He's given us power and authority over the invisible realm here on earth. Do we know a little thing that says, if you bind things on heaven, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven? We have authority over the invisible realm here too. That is why when Jesus came and the demons squealed and said, "Oh, Christ, dude, are you going to vanquish us before the time? Let us go into the pigs." Jesus said, "Do it, dude." The pigs were smarter to get rid of the demons than we are. We entertain them. And the reason for it is because We have fallen from our previous estate. We do not recognize what is God's thoughts and purposes for us. We entertain all the negative junk. And when we entertain it and we move upon it, we give back the power and authority that God has given to us, just like Adam and Eve did. Dominion. Dominion. God created us to exercise power, authority, and manage dominion over the earth, not each other. And that's where the perversion comes in, when we take that power and we try to dominate another person's will. We try to make them do what we want to do. We call that manipulation. Witchcraft is really what that word is talking about. When we try to, in our little subtle approach, to get people to do either through guilt, a spirit of guilt, or a spirit of anger, rage, misbehavior. Think about our behaviors and what we do to get other people, or try to get other people to do for us. It's not godly. And the reason for it is because we have not practiced, because we have not learned of such things, because we are not kingdom-minded to the realities of what God is professing for this end-time generation. This Joshua generation. Man is the only creature made in God's image. And this Hebrew word is a compound word. It is tasalam demut. And it means to copy, have characteristics, or have essence. It denotes that a spiritual being, we are physical expressions of God's moral and spiritual nature and attributes, making us God-like, not like God. Do you understand the difference? It's very important that you understand the difference. We are God-like because He inhabits us. Satan said in there, you would be like God. Meaning, we are no longer under His authority. We can do as God wills because we have all power and authority to do whatever we want. Who do we have to answer to? But being like God-like, it means that we are under His authority, submitted to His power, set free to enjoy the relationship that He has created us to have. That's what dominion over this world is. God's love comes from His essence of who He is into my spirit. As I allow Him to love in me, His love renews my mind. As His love renews my mind, my flesh yields to that, and I am able to do His will through the divine love that His nature is already contained within me. Remember I said we have His spiritual DNA already in us, wanting to come out of us. It's the reason why we must become a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, by the renewing of your mind, being transformed, not to the world, but to His world, so that we may prove what is His good and acceptable and perfect will for my life is. Now, man is not a name, or man is not a gender. It is a name given to a race of beings. We are that race of beings. We are like God-like beings. We have a spirit that has a living soul, because when God brought His spirit from Him and created us, He took His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, breathed into clay. When the two came together, we became a living soul. Isn't that what Scripture tells us? It's there at the creation of man. It's in there. Trust me. Look at it. You'll see. In our soul is contained our mind, our will, and emotion. Right. I was trying to think of second that emotion. When God created us, He gave us the responsibility as being these spiritual beings to rule and reign over all that He created in this physical realm. He created us to have communion with Him through our spirit. And He created us to dominate the fallen angels because they are put upon this planet. He who was a little lower than the angels has now been ascended above the angels. And now He sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for the saints. That's like Saint Teresa and Saint Peter and Saint Paul. That's us. All right, you guys are catching on. You're smart. That's right. That's it. And St. Thomas and St. Lucia. St. Martin, yeah. God has created us to reveal His wisdom and glory to them that even in their being invisible to us, we can dominate them through the power and authority of Jesus Christ. You just got to learn how to exercise it, how to do this. Irene was saying to me the other night, you know, we were talking about something, and I was really getting bent out of shape about it. She says, "Well, isn't this what you minister to them?" And I said to the Lord after we got home, and I said, "Lord, you know, what is this? Why am I so mad about this?" And He goes, "You're mad because you know she's right." I said, "I'm not mad about that though, you know, because she's right, but why am I so angry about why she said this?" He says, "Because you have forgotten who you are. You don't put into practice because you believe the lie that I can do it tomorrow." And I went, man, that stings like a bee. And He's right. He is absolutely right. He's only using her spirit to remind me of who I am. When what I do is I take it as an affront, as a defensive mechanism and say, "Who are you?" When she's just reminding me, you are a spiritual being encapsulated in flesh where sin dwells. But you must conquer sin. Sin is ever at your door, but you must conquer sin. That was the reason why He gave us the Holy Spirit, to empower us to conquer sin in our lives. Next week we're going to go deeper. We're going to see the creative purposes and how dominion is really given to us in such a way. But the plan of God, if you come away from this, the plan of God has always been for our good. The plan of God has always been, from the beginning, to share His kingdom through a living, loving relationship with Him as representatives of this kingdom. And this kingdom's expansion now has entered into this physical realm to allow these beings on this planet to understand God's love. And this is where the spiritual warfare comes. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your word. God, I thank You, God, that You are so, so good and true to us, Lord. That, Father, Your intent for us is not something lowly, but Your intent for us is to exalt us on high. the farther as we take the lower road, the higher is the exaltation. We can't get any higher than Jesus Christ, but God, we can be like Him. And Father, I just ask that as we go forth this week, God, that the kingdom begin to permeate, that this word, this seed that You have given to me, God, for so many months and so many days of just allowing it to churn in my spirit, God, I pray for the truth to set Your people free to be who they have been created to be in Jesus' name, God. I ask that You bless them richly, Lord, as they go forth in the power and might that You have ordained them to walk in. And I thank You for them, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.